we've closed out the 1921 budget. It's all closed, it's all done. And as far as the 21-23 budget, currently we're at a surplus of $159,000 and some change. Our personal services is a touch over right now, but with some of the changes we've had with personnel, it's going to come back in line. But you have to remember that the legislature really only kind of funds personal services about 85%. So it kind of starts off in the hole, but it's not something to be concerned about at this point, but we'll be keeping an eye on that. Statements of economic interest, I was going to remind the new commissioners that you're all statements of economic interest filers now. So come March 15th, you'll be getting an email that says, time to file, and we are here as a staff. We will answer the phone. If you have any questions, we're happy to help you with filing your statement of economic interest. But just a really quick overview, it's basically just kind of a financial disclosure. You don't actually have to put amounts in, but it's kind of where your interests lie, what properties you own within your jurisdiction, which, by the way, your jurisdiction is the state of Oregon. So you have to list properties other than your home that you live, that you own in the state of Oregon, but not in other states. And it's where your income derives, either from business or from wages, or from, stocks, bonds, whatever that is. So if you need help with that statement of economic interest, we're here to help you with that. Everybody knows we've got three new commissioners. There is one left. The House Republicans need another nominee. They cannot nominate a Republican, so they'll have to nominate somebody that's not affiliated at this point. And the plan still is to bring somebody into the February session. And like I said, once we actually have a full complement of commissioners, we will have a work session in the afternoon after a meeting and have basically some training to be able to answer questions and basically have those in-depth discussions that will help you kind of prepare more for being on the commission. But before that happens, if anybody has any questions, feel free to get a hold of me. I'll make sure you have my cell phone number. I won't say it out here in public meeting, but I'll make sure that you have that, and you can contact me anytime on that with any questions that you might have. So we talked earlier, we've hired the new compliance specialist too, Tori Sims. He comes to us from Georgia, so he brings a whole new experience in here, but it's really funny talking. We have a lot of the same experiences, so I don't know if that's a good or bad for Tori or me, but he likes to hunt and fish and do a lot of the same things that I like to do. So anyway, it's kind of interesting, but we're looking for great things out of Tori, and it won't be long before he'll be presenting cases to you commissioners at that time and answering questions you have on his investigations that come about. So with that, and Diane retiring, I have decided to direct appoint Susan into Diane's position as a compliance specialist 3. If we did the normal hiring, each hiring takes about 2 months, and so if we did a hiring and then if Susan got that position, then we would be hiring her position, and that investigator position probably wouldn't be hired till April, maybe even early May. And so this agency just can't go that long with having that opening sitting there. So we're going to immediately open up her position as Investigator 3 and get that hiring done and try to get somebody in here in February. So I said we should have full staff by the end of January, but really it's probably going to be February, early March before we have somebody in here. So we'll start the process in January of getting somebody hired in here. One of the things when Diane left is we had a kind of a large payout for her vacation time, and so we got to kind of make that up a little bit. We talked about the COVID thing. We continue to telework. I think it's interesting that the front staff, David and Kathy, have done an excellent job As far as third quarter 2021, there's only two lobbyists and zero clients. So there's only two lobbyists that haven't filed their lobbyist reports for third quarter, which was, what was that due? October 15th. So that's really good. And all other quarters for both lobbyists and clients are all filed. So hopefully eventually we'll see less and less of those folks that have, you know, multiple quarters that they haven't filed. So they're really staying on top of those folks. So a couple other things I didn't put on the report. So I am announcing now that I'm going to miss the July 8th meeting. So I'm going to try for a third time to go to Africa, and it's right in the middle of that time. So I know there's this new COVID thing and stuff, but I'm still hopeful that we'll be there. But at this point, until Susan will be in my stead. A lot of times when I'm going to miss things, you can move the meeting back a little bit, but it's right in the middle of this trip. And between travel time and the trip over there, it's about a 14 to 15 day trip. So it just doesn't make sense to move it. So I apologize. In the 15 years, I've never missed a meeting, but I'm gonna announce, unless you folks like to fire me on July 7th, I'm gonna miss that meeting. So anyway, the other thing that I want to just point out, just real quick, is there has been some talk in the short session. We've been approached by some of the legislative branch on they're upset about the lack of regulation in public meetings, and there has been some talk with this agency about taking over that regulation. So I'm sure it's a long, drawn-out process for that to happen, but, you know, I guess theoretically this agency could get a fourth area of law and actually take over the public meetings. As you folks know now, there's no agency regulates public meetings. If you want to take somebody to task on that, you actually have to take them to court to do that. And so, unfortunately, in the state right now, there's been a few public, committees or whatever, public bodies that have essentially just told the press they know it's an illegal meeting, but they're going to do it anyway. And so that's lighting a little bit of fire in the legislature to put an end to that. And when we talk about, I think it's a compliment to us that one, the first place they're going is to us to take care of that, even though we're a small agency. And I've warned them that public meetings may more than double this agency.
Right.
But, again, this agency runs on about $1.6 million, $1.7 million a year. So a biennial budget of, you know, $3.4 million. So you talk about doubling $3.4 million, it doesn't scare anybody. So, you know, nobody's going, oh my God, that's way too much. So I will tell you, so it's just something to kind of look at. It may be talked about in a short session. I may be asked to testify. I have communicated with the governor's office about being approached by the legislative branch on the regulation of public meetings, but anyway, and they seem to be fine with me having those conversations and providing information to the legislative branch on that subject. So, and then lastly, I've talked to the commissioners over the years. Over the state, it has done. Has had a project to basically change how they compensate managers. And so currently we have everybody's in this principal exec manager series, and it goes from A through, I don't know, J or K or something like that. But they've had this study, they call it the TOMP study. I don't know what that acronym stands for. But they are in the midst of finishing that up, and so they have determined that this management position will change from a range 33 to a range 34. So it will go up one salary range. That doesn't necessarily mean it actually goes up in salary, but that may happen. And so since we can't talk about salary in my review, I will tell you, unless you folks have an objection, come May, which is my salary eligibility date, there may be an opportunity to get another step increase So that's there. Unless you folks vote to block that,
that's a good idea.
That would happen. So, but they did look at the complexities of this position, and we talk about just, you know, that this agency deals with every form of government in the state of Oregon, and so they recognize that even though it's a small agency, it actually is not an easy place to manage anyway. So anyway, there was a little bit of recognition there. So I just wanted to point that out, that come February, my salary may change a little bit. And yes, we have to fund it. They're not giving us any more money for it. So, but that'll be fine. Unless there's any questions, Chair.
We need you to be a little nicer in these meetings then, Ron.
I should be nicer to you guys all the time, yeah. That's,
Commissioner Hollister.
Thanks. So, Executive Director Burson, I just wanted to say that I wholeheartedly agree with you that adding public meetings law generally to the jurisdiction of this commission will significantly increase the scope of our work, and I wonder if it will even be more than 50%. I mean, when I look at the trends and how contentious public meetings have become, I just worry that we're going to be placed in the middle of a lot of that that conflict. And I hope that we're able to really explore that and think about ways that we can, you know, meet the needs of the public and have an impact, maintain our impact. So the extent that we can have those conversations at the commission level, I would welcome the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just telling you folks, I mean, this is like just kind of that very initial, formal type of discussions. I mean, we were asked if it's something that we could do, and I believe it's something that we could do. But like I said, there would have to be a lot of thought go into that and a lot of changes. And like I say, this place, it would have to expand. So it's just the initial discussions, but I want to make sure you guys were aware of that. And that's all I had, sir.
Okay. I guess we'll move into the election of chair and vice chair. That's our last item on the agenda for today. And I'll open it up with, first of all, obviously this is my last meeting chairing, and I appreciate everybody's, I don't know if it's confidence, because I know I've ran some of these meetings a little clunky at times. I know that there's been previously much more smooth chairs, and so I'm grateful for your patience. It's been a great honor to be able to do this year, where we had a long session and we were able to work on these bills and we got those through, and I was very excited to be part of that process. But we got another year coming up, and I will kick it off by nominating my vice chair, who I'm fortunate that he was a great support to me. Like I said in the previous, my wife was in labor 30 minutes before I'm testifying on one of our Senate bills. He was available to jump on the computer, fill in testimony-wise. But he's obviously very active in all these meetings. He's the longest term. I think you're the longest serving commissioner, because I think you got me beat by a couple of months. I hope everybody would support Vice Chair Fiskum, and I think he'll make a great chair in 2022.
I don't know if it needs a second, but I would absolutely second.
This would be a second.
They
do have a
vote, yes. I agree with that as well, and I haven't talked to people about this, but as far as the Vice Chair, I think that Commissioner Hollister would be an excellent candidate. If she's up for it.
Yeah, so I think we need to go ahead and vote. All right, can we do a voice vote on this, Ron? Or do we need a roll call vote?
Well, it's been roll call in the past.
I think it's been roll call in the past. I'm not saying that.
A roll call vote. Well, I guess any discussion on my motion to nominate vice chair for the chair position in 2022.
Well, we just got to make sure.
That's a great idea.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Great.
Then
if we can have a roll call vote for the
Commissioner
Fiscom? Abstain. You can vote for yourself.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Thompson?
Aye.
Commissioner McCauley?
Aye.
Commissioner Mason?
Aye.
I mean, Chair Mason, sorry. Motion passes.
Just refer. Commissioner Fiscom, you voted aye, correct?
Oh, yes.
You abstained.
But you're going to vote aye, right?
I vote aye.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I will concur with my colleague, Commissioner Lindsay, and I would nominate Commissioner Hollister to serve as vice chair of the commission for 2022.
Any discussion on the motion?
Don't call on Hollister.
I'll humbly accept the nomination. I will say that it's a significant responsibility, and I am honored that you would put that level of trust in me. So, thank you.
The trust is well deserved, Commissioner Hollister. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hollister?
I
did it!
Thank you.
Commissioner Lindsay?
You gotta believe in yourself.
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Thompson?
Aye.
Commissioner McCauley?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Congratulations.
Mr. Chair, let me just say a couple things. I thank you for the confidence you've expressed in me. If it's confidence, we'll see if that's worth it in a while. Thank you for Amber. I've enjoyed serving with all the chairs in my 4 years. Couple things. I want to make sure we continue to provide time to allow all commissioners to talk as much as they want on all issues. I want to make sure we treat all those who appear before us with fairness and respect, recognizing the different positions they might come to as they appear before us and their experiences. And I think we've done that to a perhaps imperfect degree, but we've tried. I want to continue working to find the right balance between education and enforcement. And frankly, sometimes enforcement is the way to educate. But education is preeminent for all of us, I think, as we've looked at these tasks. I want to continue operating in a clear, nonpartisan manner. Commissioner Lindsay has talked about the various partisan backgrounds that we have before we come here, but I think we have conducted ourselves, as I look at us, in a nonpartisan manner, and that's good. Then the last thing I would say is I want to make sure we try to find time along the way to discuss ethics policy that we could perhaps advocate, like we did in the last session, for changes in the policy that we then enforced. It's important to find time to do that amidst the busy schedules we all have. A big thank you to Ron and staff for all the way they help us and allow us on occasion even to use our discretion. So thanks, colleagues. Look forward to the next year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. And with that, anything else? Otherwise, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.